The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Time.
I don't know.
It may not be time.
Is it the real Dave Congleton?
I don't know. It could be Gary J. Freiberg. Could be Jim Siebert. If I was really good, I could be Jeanette Trumpeter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Glad you're back.
Good to hear your voice. But I don't know, if I start the music, the vacation's over.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Anything I should know about?
No, everything went swimmingly.
Everybody did their job, nobody screwed up?
Nope.
Station's still on the air?
Yep, everything's good.
All right, should we do it?
Let's go.
Here we go.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
3:07 on the Central Coast. It is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be back with you. You may think, Dave, it's kind of weird. You're popping up in the middle of the week. Why didn't you take the whole week off? Well, I miss you. I miss you when I'm away. I wanted to come back. So here we go. We start the show by thanking the guest hosts, the people who stepped in and covered me and allowing me to get away for a while. That would be, in no particular order, Mr. Jeff Bliss, Ms. Jeanette Trumpeter, Ms. Jamie Lewis, Mr. Gary J. Freiberg, Jim Siebert, our own Craig Hill. Also want to give a shout out to Jim Richards, who helped. Craig took a couple days off, and Jim filled in. But I just want to give a shout out. And Craig doesn't like the spotlight, but if our listeners only knew the double duty you do in covering the show, because you work hard on that side of the window, but then you got to come in, you got to run the board, you got to work with the guest host, you got to hold their hand.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I found a system. Once you get a system going, everything's easy after that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here's what we're going to do. On this broadcast today, during the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to pick some topics from the news. Bill Ostrander will join us. What is the Great Resignation? Why are so many members of Congress deciding to leave? And how much longer is Mike Johnson going to be Speaker of the House? What is the problem? Let's talk. Dr. Armstead is going to be available during the 5 o'clock hour. Just heard the news from ABC. How is Israel going to respond to Iran? So let's ask Dr. Armstead. What's going on? What's been happening these last few weeks? What does he expect to happen? What does he think should happen? Then author Katya Sengel during the 6 o'clock hour introduces us to her new book, a memoir, Straight Jackets and Lunch Money. Just a great local author, just turning one great nonfiction book after another. Anyway, I thought I would just take a little bit of time this opening hour and share with you where I have been and what I have done these last few weeks. We'll just pull some stories out for you and perhaps inspire you at some point to go somewhere, do something special. Where did you go, Dave? Well, we went to Amsterdam. We were there for a couple days, and then we got on a river cruise, and we went through southern Netherlands and down into Belgium, and then we went back to Amsterdam, and we hung out there for a couple more days. But it was primarily a river cruise. All right. So why Amsterdam? Why the Netherlands? Of all the places you could go, why did you go there? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Last May, we went to Great Britain, and one of the reasons to go there was that my partner, Kathy, she has some Irish in her blood, and her grandmother came over to this country from Ireland, and Kathy was able to go back and see the house where her grandmother was born and raised in rural Ireland. a very emotional experience for her. But there's another side to this, and that was involving her grandfather. It turned out that he was Dutch. Grandpa Mink was Dutch. And he came to this country from a small town in the Netherlands called Delft when he was 14. So the unspoken request there, and those of you in a relationship, you get it. When your partner says, it really would be nice to walk the streets of Delft, you got to figure out a way to make it happen. Now, in the past, the temptation is, well, just go on a cruise, because there are many cruises through the region, the Baltics, etc., where they give you a day in Amsterdam. But I realized that that wasn't going to be enough. I love cruising. I hope to take more cruises in my life. But one of the downsides to the cruise is that you just kind of, you know, you go to this country for a day, then you get back on the boat and you go to another country for a day. And you really don't get to absorb the culture, absorb the experience. So I just went online to see what I could find. And I came across this river cruise on Amadeus. Never heard of them before. And they had a room in the lower deck, down there in steerage with Leonardo DiCaprio and all the other immigrants. And it was within my price range. And I had never been on a river cruise before. I knew very little about it, except those who have done it rave about it. It's smaller than an ocean liner. You get to go in country and experience a country up front. You, instead of spending a day, you're spending 8 days. So let's do it. I wanted more than just a one-day stop. And so that's why we set this trip up. Let me take the first break early. When we come back, I want to talk specifically about Amsterdam and the bicycles and the canals. It was an experience that I wasn't quite prepared for. I'm Dave Congleton. You can tell I'm excited. We're live. We're local. We're hometown.
Everyone makes a bad decision from time to time. Like, you should pre-read that text before you send it into the 920 KVEC text line, powered by attorney Jeff Stolberg. DUI is a bad decision, and the most frequently charged criminal offense in California. Even good people can end up on the wrong side of the law. For a free consultation for DUI, call Jeff Stolberg at 544-7693 and text us on the 920 KVEC text line. It's powered by attorney Jeff Stolberg.
When it comes to the next phase in life, knowing your options in advance can make all the difference. Hi, this is Dave Congleton for Senior Living Consultants. As we get older, the care we need can change in an instant, leaving decisions about our care and living arrangements up to someone else. Take control. Get the information you need in advance from the only senior living expert I recommend, Charmaine Peterson from Senior Living Consultants.
Thanks, Dave. Whether you just have questions, you're ready to start planning senior care options, or you need assistance today, Senior Living Consultants is here to help. We start with a thorough evaluation of you or your loved one's social, medical, or financial needs. Next, we'll tour all the appropriate communities together in person until we find the right one. Once we do and you're ready, we'll take care of all the medical paperwork. The best part, our service is free. Visit SeniorLivingConsultants.com today or call 805-545-5901. Senior Living Consultants, providing peace of mind since 1997.
Under the direction of Thomas Davies, the Slow Master Chorale presents Rachmaninoff's signature chorale work, All Night Vigil, Sunday, April 21st at 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. The Slow Master Chorale will perform 70 minutes of glorious a cappella singing in the wonderful acoustics of the Harold Miosi Hall. You can catch two free presentations to go beyond the notes and learn more about Rachmaninoff's sources and musical references utilized during the composition of his work, All Night Vigil. They take place on April 20th at 3 p.m. and April 21st at 1:15. That's the Slow Master Chorale presenting Rachmaninoff's All-Night Vigil on April 21st at the Performing Arts Center on the Cal Poly campus. Tickets and information about the weekend's events are available at slowmastercorral.org.
Tomorrow's headlines, tomorrow's hometown radio guest on tomorrow's KVEC Daily Update. Subscribe now at 920kvec.com.
And speaking of Tom Davies, he will be with us tomorrow to talk about the concert. Maybe, just maybe, we'll have some free tickets to give away. So, just to put it in context, Pepper and Craig welcomed me back when I showed up today, and they're asking me about the vacation. And I'll tell you what I told them. If you take out Antarctica in 2007, this trip to the Netherlands was probably the best vacation I have ever experienced. It was the one trip where everything went our way. Nothing got screwed up. No luggage got lost. Nobody got sick. We didn't miss any connections. The travel gods were smiling on us. And so if you're here, somebody in a really good mood, that's why. So 2 weeks in the Netherlands and Belgium. Never been to Amsterdam before. It's been on my bucket list. This is a town that does not disappoint. It's a town of less than a million people. It's really not that large of a town. But now when I think of Amsterdam, I will think of two things. Number one, I'll think of the canals. There are 88 canals in Amsterdam. And what you have to remember, I'm not Mr. Science, but Amsterdam, and I believe the entire country of the Netherlands, is below sea level. And they have been amazing at keeping the water under control. There was a major disaster back in 1953, flooding along the western coastline, that really inspired them to take these issues head on. And of course, you know, you can just get one canal boat after another and just tootle around the town. But what really makes Amsterdam stand out are the bicycles. We're not talking about a handful of bicycles. We're not talking about the half dozen bicyclists you might see in downtown San Luis Obispo. The figure is this: of all the transportation in the city of Amsterdam, 40% is bicycle. They don't wear any helmets. These aren't fancy bikes. They have brakes. They don't have speeds. They pull 10,000 bicycles out of the canals every year. I know. People get drunk. The bike breaks. They're done with the bike. They don't know what to do with it. They just toss it in the canal. But here's the deal. And this was explained to us by a couple different people. Just recently, the city of Amsterdam made a critical decision. I mean, like over here, the pedestrian, by and large, has the right of way, right? You're driving along, you're riding a bicycle, somebody walks out in front of you, you stop. You yield. In Amsterdam, no. The bicyclist has the right of way. Absolute right of way. If you're a pedestrian, if you're a driver, if you're a bus driver, doesn't matter. You stop and let the bicyclists go by. There are pathways on every street. They're just red. And that's the bicycle lane. And people were warning us about this before we went. It was like, it can't be that bad. No, it is. It's unbelievable. The amount of bicycles and the amount of people on bicycles. And we're talking about men in suits and women in dresses. And this is how they commute. And they just kind of roll along. I'm pleased to report that we didn't get hit. So I can understand now why there are some in San Luis who are trying to make us into like a mini Amsterdam. I don't see it happening. But I can see their inspiration. What do you do in Amsterdam? Well, you know, if I were a younger person, I probably would have done different things. The smell of cannabis is everywhere in Amsterdam because it's legal. You have to be careful. You walk into a coffee house, you think you're walking into like a Starbucks. No, that's where they have their cannabis. You have to go looking for a cafe. Cafes are for coffee. A coffee shop is for cannabis. Don't ask me why. That's just the way that it is. The third thing about Amsterdam, in addition to the canals and the bicycles, and maybe this is just for people of the baby boomers, but the specter of World War II hangs over that city. Most popular tourist destination is the Anne Frank House / Museum. We went to it. We couldn't get in. The tickets were sold out for the entire month of April already. But we went by to pay our respects. In the city streets, there are little square, I don't want to call them plaques, like nameplates, bronze. And there is a nameplate for every Dutch Jew who was removed and sent to a concentration camp during World War II. Got their date of birth, date of death, and the camp that they had been assigned to. Every street, their nameplates. Thousands of them. We stumbled across a place that I was not familiar with. The Dutch Resistance Museum. Right around the corner from the Holocaust Museum. And it was eye-opening to go through these exhibits. Just as an example, when the Nazis took over Amsterdam, one of the first things they did is that if you were an actor, if you were a performer, if you were an entertainer, you had to sign a release that assured the Nazis that you were not Jewish. And there were newspaper editorials urging entertainers not to sign. But if you didn't sign, you'd be deported, right? So just all these stories that I never knew before. I never really stopped to think about what happened in a town when the Nazis came in and took over. It's also striking because on more than one tour, and these were conducted by people my age or older, the Dutch people, and they're holding back tears, choking back tears when they talk about the war and the fact that we, the United States, came to their aid. Now, this is 2024. And I'm not sitting here telling you that every Dutch person is this way. But I was struck by how deep that connection is, that after all this time, there is recognition and appreciation for the role that we played in defeating Hitler. And this could be a whole other discussion at some point that I'd be willing to have. But one of my takeaways from spending time in Amsterdam was that I believe our finest hour as a country was our involvement in World War II and what we did to help the people of Europe. And it was we were pretty proud. Not trying to be a flag waver, but it was a pretty proud to walk around and hear people of my generation still feel grateful. Yes, there are other museums. We went to the Van Gogh Museum. We went to the Rijksmuseum, which is where all the Dutch masters are. And it's amazing when you look at the paintings from the 1600s and the 1700s and the great attention to detail. I'm not an artist. I don't know how to evaluate this stuff, but even I was able to appreciate the use of light and color to create these lifelike images. You have to keep in mind that in the 17th century, the 1600s, the Dutch ruled the world, right? They were the power. More than England, more than Spain, it was the Dutch. They were doing all the exploring and all the discoveries. Craig, you got a question for me?
I was just more into the idea that we are aspiring, when you were mentioning the bike thing and wanting San Luis Obispo to be like that. I'm just wondering how feasible would it be, and did you see how it could happen?
No.
Did you visualize?
No. I don't know my Dutch history, but I would have to know when this bike phenomenon started. But these are generations that are raised on the bicycle.
So
there's bicycling everywhere.
What I'm hearing is San Luis should start putting in canals.
Yeah.
Along the entire central coast.
We have a creek.
Okay. Well, that's what we'll do.
All right. So let us go to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig will update us with time saver traffic and weather together. I'm just sharing with you where I've been for the last 2 weeks. When we come back, I want to talk specifically about what it's like to be on a river cruise and what you should think about in considering whether or not you'd like to take it. And I'll talk about some of the specific places we went to and some of the experiences that we had. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. California Headline News, followed by ABC Radio News and more of our travel log.
California Headline News. Members of the state Senate Public Safety Committee adding a bill that would make paying a juvenile for sex a felony. Senator Scott Wiener says the bill would overpenalize some.
This bill will send people to state prison, put people in the sex offender registry, which is basically effectively, in many ways, the end of their life.
The bill passing unanimously after it was changed to a felony if those paid for sex were under the age of 16. A death investigation underway in Sunland after a woman's decomposing body was found in a trash can in the San Fernando Valley. This woman lives near where that body was found.
I just want to know what exactly happened. It's disturbing. I've been going back and forth here just to know exactly what happened because I want to protect my family.
LAPD says the woman is in her 30s and the body showed no signs of trauma. The Kings and Lakers are still alive. The Warriors are out of the NBA playoffs. Lakers secure a spot with their win in New Orleans last night. John Gilliland, California Headline News.
Again, sent beat story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, Maraca, senor, but his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent maracas smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. On U.S. military aid to Ukraine, among other things, House Speaker Mike Johnson says he'll hold votes on 4 separate measures.
80% of the money that would be allocated in this legislation is for replenishment of our own weapons and stocks. I mean, this is something that makes sense. What we're doing is funding America's industrial defense base.
Senate Majority Democrats voted quickly to dismiss articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Republicans miffed, but says Senator John Fetterman, Pennsylvania Democrat.
This was just like a really bad show that I was forced to watch.
Former President Trump's campaign says fellow Republicans who use his name and image must split at least 5% of money raised with his fundraising committee. An undetected low battery charge can cause loss of electrical functions like driving power. In some recent model years of Bronco, Sport, and Maverick, says Ford, recalling hundreds of thousands. This is ABC News.
Hi, this is Joe Brittingham of Brittingham Financial Group in Pismo Beach, your independent certified financial planner, where for over 21 years, we've been helping people just like you plan and succeed in retirement. Now, here's today's Wall Street Market Update on KVEC News Talk 920.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. The Nasdaq led a slide for the major indexes Wednesday. It closed 182 points lower. The Dow down 46. The broader S&P shed 29 points. Chip stocks fell after a big semiconductor maker, ASML, said that its sales had a steeper drop than investors had expected. Its main customers include Samsung and Intel, which then make chips for AMD, NVIDIA, Qualcomm, and Apple. President Biden told an audience of cheering union steelworkers that his administration will block the potential acquisition of U.S. steel by a Japanese company. The president's calling for a tripling of tariffs on Chinese steel. Pennsylvania is an election year battleground. The Senate held back-to-back hearings to hear from aviation experts and people who have worked at Boeing over safety failures. Tesla asking shareholders to restore a $56 billion pay package for its chief, Elon Musk, that was rejected by a Delaware judge, and to ship the company's corporate home to Texas. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
That's your Wall Street Market Update brought to you by Joe Brittingham of Brittingham Financial Group. If you have questions about retirement, give me a call today at 295-6555. Joe Brittingham, certified financial planner and registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC.
John F. Kennedy said, "Change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. Laws change constantly. Big changes in how children and grandchildren inherit land were recently imposed. If your trust or will dates from before 2021, you may need to revise your estate plan to adjust for new laws. Adjusting your estate plan is often needed as children and grandchildren mature and move. I'm Stu Jenkins. My law firm makes it easy. We prepare and revise estate plans customized to protect you during your life and to protect your loved ones when you pass on. For estate plans you can trust, contact me at StuJenkins.com. That's StewJenkins.com. Or call me at 805-541-5763. That's 805-541-5763. You can even call by clicking on that number at StuJenkins.com.
All right, so Netherlands. Why go in April? Well, April is the time you want to go. And it has to do with Kirkenhof. If you've been up to Bouchard Gardens outside of Victoria, if you haven't, you really need to go. That's the big garden. That's open year-round. You can go year-round, and you can see flowers and all sorts of outdoor stuff. But at Kirkenhof, it's only open 2 months of the year. It's open from mid-March until mid-May, and it's hundreds of acres of nothing but tulips. In fact, our cruise was called the Tulip Serenade. There are windmills all over the Netherlands. There are also tulips. And you walk through the front gate of Kirkenhof, and I believe Denise Smart is either there right now or she was there just a couple of days ago. I saw her post on Facebook. You want to go, if you're going to do the Netherlands, in my opinion, you want to either go in April or early May. You don't want to go in the summertime because it's just going to be too damn crowded, too many people, and too many bicyclists. You want to go in April. The weather, some days it was cold and windy, and other days it was warm, and some days it was rainy. There's no consistency to it. It's Europe. And the weather literally changes by the hour. You just have to bring layered clothing. But you're just walking around, and you're just seeing bright colors bursting. The guide told us at night, 40 workers are brought in every night to care for the tulips. That's an absolutely amazing place. And I'll be honest, I had never heard of it before. And I'm so glad that I got a chance to see it. And then you got Kinderjook, 19 windmills. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Even though the traditional windmill, they don't use them anymore, there are 19 windmills that are still maintained. People still live in them. I don't know how you live in a windmill. And they're maintained just in case they're needed. You never know when you're going to need a windmill. And you can go inside. There are people who still live in the windmills. In fact, there's a waiting list to live in one of these 19 windmills. Very crammed space. And the mechanism is always turning. And so you're always hearing the mechanism. That would drive me nuts. That was just wonderful. You can, down in Belgium, we went to Bruges. And that was the one day of really bad weather. And that was the one disappointment I had because I really wanted to experience Bruges. I saw that great movie In Bruges in 2010. I'd never heard of this town before. I saw this movie. I saw it again. I've seen it many times. I wanted to go up in the tower. But because of the bad weather, the tower was closed. And you really couldn't walk around because there was this pouring rain. We got back to Amsterdam. We went to the ballet. You know, here's Dave, Mr. Culture. I wanted to experience the arts. You know, going to a museum is fine, but I wanted to see and experience some kind of performing arts in another country. Oh, they take their ballet seriously. They didn't start till 8:15. It was a Dutch Royal Ballet Company. And I wish I could critique it for you, but I couldn't. But it was really impressive, and the audience was very enthusiastic. Dave, what disappointed you? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And Kathy got to Delft. You go to Delft, it's a town of probably 100,000 people. It's a miniature version of Amsterdam. It's got canals everywhere. And in the town center, there's a government building facing a church. And there was a open-air market. And Kathy got to walk where undoubtedly her grandfather must have walked. His house is long gone. There's no way we could trace that down. But she got that connection. Dutch people were very friendly. They all speak English. They could not have been nicer, particularly the older people. They were more than willing to engage in conversation. I mean, it was just nothing but positive. And, you know, I mentioned the canals and the bicycles, but what the Dutch have really mastered is just public transportation in general. They've got an incredible train system, the bus system. People are heavy users of mass transit in the Netherlands. They've got the Grand Central Station right downtown. You can land at the airport. You can hop on a train. And within 15 minutes, you're in the heart of Amsterdam. We didn't go out a lot for food. We just kind of kept it simple. I promised Rashid that I'd give him a shout out. We stumbled across this French restaurant on our first night. And Rashid was quite the character and a genial host. He's from Morocco and very, very entertaining guy. So, Rashid, this is for you. I hope that we will stay in touch with Scott and Mike and Tom and David and Liz. I feel so fortunate to have shared this experience with them. I will never, ever forget Aline, our cruise director. She took what was going to be a wonderful experience, and she made it memorable beyond words. And that, ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell, is where I have been for the last 2 weeks. I would encourage you, if you ever have the chance, to go to the Netherlands in April or early May. I would encourage you to at least check out the option of doing a river cruise at some point. It is well worth the effort. Thanks for listening. Off we go. We got news, traffic, weather, back to work. Bill Ostrander up next. Why is Congress so dysfunctional? We'll try to tackle that one. This is Hometown Radio.
Appointed as special master. So for your customized estate plan, contact Stu Jenkins at 805-541-5763 or at stujenkins.com. That's stewjenkins.com. Now back to Hometown Radio and News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVC.
All right. So sharing with you where I've been for the last 2 weeks. In the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. Amsterdam, canals, bicycles, World War II history. And no, we didn't venture into the cannabis shops. And no, we didn't go to the red light district. With the red light district, I guess if we had had another day, we might have walked through it because everybody says you should walk through it. But I don't really need to see prostitutes in a store window. No. We did a river cruise. I decided to give it a try, mainly because I found one that I could afford. Several of you have taken Viking. I guess they're the big one. A couple people here at AGM are big fans of Alma. I know Mark Burns has done at least three or four of them. He's doing another one. I'd never heard of Amadeus before, but I liked where they were going, and I liked the price. And so I took the basement room. On a river cruise, in the case of this cruise, there are about 150 passengers. It's small. There are three floors and a sunroof. There's a dining area, and then up above that is a like a lounge area. And in the back is a small library lounge area. That's it. It's very informal. There's a small reception desk in the middle of the ship. There's not a lot to it. But as a result, you're seeing the same people every day. It's just... Yeah, I have nothing against ocean cruising. I've done nine of those. But to me, it's kind of like Vegas. It's noisy and crowded, and there's casinos, and there's smoking, and it shows every night. It's kind of a sensory overload. And then you've got a tender off the ship sometimes, or you walk off the ship and you're in an industrial area and you're like, yeah. On a river cruise, you just get right off and you're in the town. There's no need to tender. There's a short plank. You just walk right off. You're in the town. You're there. And it's just a very casual experience. Now, the one thing I wasn't prepared for, and I don't think it's a big downside, but it's something to consider, is that on a river cruise, it can be cliquish, meaning in our case, there were four distinct groups of passengers. There were a group from the First Presbyterian Church of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. There was a small, maybe about a dozen members of what I would call an elite travel group. They obviously paid a lot of money, and they had all their meals together at the same table, and they just disappeared during the day and went off and did their own thing. And then there was a travel group composed of women, middle-aged and older. And then there were the seven of us. There was Scott and Mike and Tom and David and Liz and Kathy and I. We didn't belong to any group. So Amadeus sat us together at dinner. And it was the most fortunate thing that could have happened, because we clicked from the beginning. The four guys had come in from Phoenix, so they knew each other. But Kathy and I didn't know anybody, and Liz was traveling on her own. And when I first walked on the ship, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, I don't, you know, I'm not a practicing Presbyterian, and I don't fit in with the women's group. And it's kind of like, well, who are we going to hang out with? Who are we going to associate with? But once we all sat down to dinner that first night, I knew that this was going to be magical. And for reasons I cannot fully explain to you, Amadeus Cruise Lines did the most generous thing. We didn't get the basement room. They gave us an upgrade at no extra charge. We basically got a room that normally would have cost us another $2,000. I don't have that kind of money. And I kept asking Alina, the cruise ship director, so why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? So were they looking at me and saying, well, we've got a last-minute cancellation, and we've got an open room, so take the guy with the worst room and give him a good room, and maybe he'll come back? I don't know, but it was kind of overwhelming for me to be treated that way. And you have to keep in mind that the last time Kathy and I tried to go on a vacation, we did this cruise around Great Britain, and it was fine, but we had COVID, and John and Trish, the couple we went with, they had COVID, and these other cabins had COVID, and I got to see Ireland out my window, and I had to miss France. I didn't get to go to France. So that was a vacation where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And you turn around and now you go on an adventure like this where it was just the opposite. Everything cut our way. And I have to confess to you that I enjoyed the river cruising experience. And I highly recommend it, but I warn you that it is expensive. So I don't know if I'll ever be doing it again, but it gave me what I wanted, which was I got to experience this country in a way that I could not have gotten on a traditional ocean cruise with just a stop in Amsterdam. And this whole world of the Netherlands is, you know, I know Amsterdam, but I didn't know about Delft or Ghent or Middelburg. So what you do on a river cruise is, you know, you get up in the morning and you wander on down, and they've got your breakfast covered. The food is superb. The food is superb. And then they were offering two different excursions a day. So they would take you out for the morning somewhere. Then they bring you back for lunch. I thought that was kind of strange, but it worked out. Then you'd go out on a second excursion if you wanted. And then you'd come back for dinner. Dinner didn't start till 7 o'clock. And at our table, we so enjoyed each other's company that we didn't stop till about 9 o'clock, and by then you're just so exhausted from the excursions and going around everywhere that you're ready for bed. Some people look at a river cruise and going, "Well, geez, there's nothing to do at night." Yeah, but it's a totally different experience. You don't need to be in a casino. You don't need to be entertained by college kids singing old Broadway tunes. The opening night, they had some Dutch shanty singers come on. And that was wonderful. But by and large, they had a man and a woman singing standard songs. And they had them every night. But you're not booking a river cruise for that kind of entertainment. I did miss not having access to that. And Amadeus went all out. There was maybe they felt sorry for us because we weren't affiliated with any group, but we were given a private dinner one night. We had an invitation slid under our door. This Alina was an amazing woman. I could do hours about her. She is Romanian. She's 45 years old. And this has been her career. And on this ship, she kind of called the shots. And she was the one who decided that we were going to get the upgraded room. And she was the one who decided that the seven of us were going to have this special dinner. It's not a bad life. You're cruising through the locks. You're with these new people who have bonded with you overnight. You're being treated to all sorts of food, and it's like, wow, life is pretty good. Let me mention some stops here. Earlier I talked about if you go to the Netherlands, you really get the feel of World War II. We saw that when we went to Arnhem. Ever see the movie A Bridge Too Far? Late 1970s? Well, we saw the bridge. Well, we saw the new version of the bridge. The old version's long gone. The British and the Polish troops in 1944, they invade the Netherlands and try to take it back from the Nazis, but they failed to take the bridge at Arnhem. And as a result of that colossal failure, and it was really sad because there were Polish troops involved, and Montgomery, who was the head of the British invasion, when he was defeated, he blamed it on the Polish troops. And initially, Montgomery was believed. And nothing to do with the Polish troops. It was bad planning by Montgomery. Anyway, defeat has consequences. Because the Allies failed to capture that bridge, the war continued longer than it should have. And a lot of the Dutch people were subjected to hunger, famine during the winter that followed. This was September 1944. Had they succeeded, then the Netherlands would have been freed 6 months sooner. Those people would have been spared. And at Arnhem, they have this museum. Because there's a lot of World War II museums in the Netherlands. But in the basement of this museum, they have recreated. It's kind of like walking through a ride at Disneyland. I don't mean to demean it in any way, shape, or form, but it's like being in Disneyland. They put you on a plane, and you're with the pilots as the pilots are dropping paratroopers out. You step out of the plane, and you're surrounded by this 3D exhibit of soldiers parachuting to the ground. You hear gunfire, you hear people yelling and screaming, you hear the sounds of war. Then you walk through what was left of the village of Arnhem after all this bombing, and you see all the crosses hanging from the ceiling just to commemorate the soldiers who died. Remember earlier I was talking about the tour guide who was choking back tears? This was one of them. Just the impact that the Allies coming to rescue his country from the Nazis was with him all this time later. So So, I mean, you think you know a little bit about the war. You remember some of the stories. You've seen some of the movies. But until you go to these museums and you hear the audio and you see the video and hear the accounts, you're reminded about how horrific it was and how many thousands, if not millions, of people suffered. Obviously, millions. All right, let me take the break. We'll come back for a final segment. There's canals, there's Nazis, there's bicycles, but obviously the last part of the Dutch equation, yep, tulips. We need to talk about Kirkenhof. We'll do that. I'm Dave Congleton.
Mid-State Precious Metal is there to help you buy and sell gold and silver and collectible coins. Hi, this is Andy Morris, and I've got a couple things I'd like to talk to you about today. One is investing in gold and silver bullion. If you've always wondered about the best way to do it, drop by and talk to Ron and the crew at Mid-State Precious Metals. They're easy to find in Atascadero, across the parking lot from Colony Cinemas, right next to Wild Fields Brewery. If you've ever thought about investing in gold bullion or silver bullion, they can answer all your questions and tell you everything you need to know to make it a seamless transaction. Drop by and talk to the gang at Mid-State Precious Metals about investing in gold and silver bullion. The other group I want to talk to is those who are still hanging on to your grandparents' or parents' coin collections. I can tell you firsthand that you won't get a more honest appraisal of what those coin collections are worth, and more importantly, if now is a good time to sell them, then you will from Mid-State Precious Metals. If you'd like more information, you can also head to their website at Mid-State Precious Metals.com.
April is the perfect time to get going on those home improvements, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has a showroom full of awesome products designed to make your kitchen or bathroom more fun and functional.
Yeah, Dad, it's great that you've got the experience to guide your customers through projects of any size or budget.
And I bet you'd even stop by your customer's house to offer advice on what options are available.
Well, Nash, that's true. We can assist with everything from great-looking grab bars that make a bathroom safer to a house full of fixtures for your dream home.
Because we're here for you with the best service and products available on the Central Coast for over 30 years.
So call us for a consultation or stop by the store today.
We're happy to offer guidance for your specific needs.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, located behind Trader Joe's at 3974 Short Street in San Luis Obispo.
Or visit us online at PacificCoastKB.com.
We look forward to meeting you.
At Atascadero Jewelry Loan, we offer many services, including collateral loans. It's a simple process that allows you to walk out with cash today. Or just looking to sell an item? Our knowledgeable staff with a GIA graduate can help with that too. Gold, diamonds, coins, fine watches, electronics, construction grade tools, and lots more. We also have one of the largest selections of jewelry on the Central Coast. Unique pieces at unbeatable prices. Come check us out at 5550 El Camino Real, Atascadero.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.